joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, because He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Bible it says, Psalm 133. It says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. I like that verse a lot because I like having people around me. I like having friends and family. And, you know, I also like having people talk to God about it, living and speaking to other people about God. Because you can go to God. You always should go to God. But it's also sometimes good to go to other people. Go to other people when you have something wrong. Talk about thoughts and talk about also God with other people. And know that you're always able to do that. Know you should go out there and talk to people about God. Let them know who He is and let them know how great He is. And think thoughts and just live together.
Thank you, Avi. Good morning and welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. God has given us one more day to live in this world, and every day is a gift from God. So let us be thankful for that. Not because of our merits, only because of God's grace that we are alive yet today. We are still in the season of Pentecost. It's the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, and the season will go onward until November, when we start our Advent season sometime in November. So this is called ordinary season in the church calendar. It is because we focus on the Christian living and the discipleship during this time of long period when we meditate on the Word of God, how to live a good, successful Christian life in this world. So it's called ordinary season, not because it is ordinary. It is because ordinal means one, two, they count it ordinal. If you look it up in the dictionary, ordinal means number one, two, three. So we count the number of days towards the Advent season, which is the season of expectation. So that's what it is. So today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. Let us worship God together here and also online. And God has given us this opportunity here to worship together. The announcements are the regular announcements, nothing special. The food bank and our third Thursday luncheon, it's on July 24 at the Golden Corral. So actually, the third Thursday is 17th.
Yeah, I think it's the 17th.
Next Sunday, next Thursday. So that's wrong, 24. So this is coming Sunday this week. So please join for a time of lunch and fellowship at the Golden Corral this Thursday at 1 o'clock. Yesterday we had a good session with the Forsyth Community Clinic. They had a session on stress and anxiety management, which I thought was a very useful session. Some of us were able to attend that. They didn't do the clinical test yesterday. I don't know why they didn't. They had the clinic, the mobile clinic here, the bus. But I don't think anybody wanted to do anything. I don't know. They didn't do that. But they told me they will bring their mobile clinic anytime you want here. If we have at least 10 people to sign up, people don't have insurance especially. Or if something that like your blood test that your insurance doesn't cover and you want a free test, they will do that. They have online lab also in that bus. So if we have 10 people that we can bring the mobile clinic on a Sunday, and after service they will be available here to do that. And also spread the word for anybody who doesn't have medical insurance. They have doctors, they have nurses, they do lab tests, basic tests, they will do that. So please spread the word around. If you don't have insurance, that's a free clinic. They don't ask for anything else. No ID. They will just ask for your name. If you are willing to give that, especially if you want your results back, they need your address.
But you have to live in the area, right?
It doesn't have to be.
Oh.
No, it doesn't have to be. Anybody can use that facility. So please spread the word around. They would not ask for any ID or anything. I know many people are afraid lately because immigration will check their IDs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's not, they don't do that. This is particularly for this kind of situation where people need medical care and they are afraid to go out. But they are a source of medical care for people who don't have any insurance. And it is free of charge. They don't charge you anything either. So please let me know if you have anybody in need of that. Those are the announcements. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church. By your prayers, presence, and gifts, God loves a cheerful giver. God is good all the time, and let us continue to do the work that God has given us in this community to do. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody else have any other announcements? If not, we will continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The opening hymn is hymn number 77, O Lord my God. If you are able, please stand.
Consider.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, you are almighty and everlasting. You are from generations to generations, and you are praised by the angels in heaven and saints all around the world. We thank you for your grace and mercy that you show upon us, even when we are so minute and tiny in this world, in all the creations. You loved us by giving your own life for us. We come before you with a grateful heart to worship you and adore you. We marvel at your majesty and power, O God, and astonished by the mystery of your redeeming love, by the way in which your Son, who came and lived among us, full of grace and truth, at the same time holding the whole creation in your everlasting arms. Thank you again for sending your Son, and also sending your Spirit, Holy Spirit, to comfort us. The grace and redemption through your Son that is sustained and every day kept in this life through your Holy Spirit. And you open the way to eternal life through every nation and race, and promise the gift of Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in you. We thank you for your mercy and grace on us every day. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit in this church and also online with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. Bless us with your presence here today, O God, and help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, that your name will be lifted up and your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Nearer My God to Thee, page 528. This one was chosen by Yoli. Now, Yoli, you don't have to say anything, but did you want to say anything about this song?
No.
Okay.
All right. One of my favorite stuff.
I gave her an easy out. Verses 1, 2, and 3.
Verses 1, 2, and 3 verses.
Why did he get that?
Because I don't have a pretty music like you.
Come on.
Pray.
The responsive reading is taken from Psalm 81, verses 1 through 10. It's on page 803 in the blue book. If you are able, please stand.
Sing aloud to the God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob.
Raise the song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp.
Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day.
For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob, who made it decree in Joseph, when God went out over the land of Egypt.
I hear a voice I do not know.
I relieve your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were free from the basket.
In distress you called, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Mimbra.
Hear, O my people, why I not you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me.
There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it.
The Lord of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now, where we bring our prayers together as a church family to God and also share with each other. Our prayers of praises to praise God for all the blessings that we receive, and also bring our prayers of burdens and concerns together, united in faith. God will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. The regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin in those boxes. Please pray for these people and these items listed there. Use this as a prayer list for your regular prayers on your study desk or prayer desk at your home. And remember these people and these items. Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry, Carol, Wayne, Jerry, Sean and Amy Conway, Ed and Bertha Law, please pray for these people. And I just got an update from Yolanda about Bertha. She's getting better. Okay, you just checked out. Let them know we are praying for you, for them also, please. And Wayne will have an appointment this week for his surgery schedule, so he will know that this week. Please keep him in our prayers. And also, Jean McBrayer is out for the camp meeting, so she's not here. We'll pray for all. I want to add one family, Satish, our neighbor and our close friend for over 25 years, died this weekend, this past week. He was on his way to India to visit his parents, just like we go and visit our parents. And he was on his transit. They spent a couple of days in the transit at Abu Dhabi in a hotel, and he died at the hotel. It's terrible. He was undergoing chemo for his cancer, but he was getting better. His doctor gave him the clearance to travel. And also the latest test, he called me before he left that his cancer is not there when they tested him. And he was all upbeat and joyous about meeting his parents. They are in their 90s. So we were all very excited about him going to be with his parents. But the news came, it was very shocking to all of us. And the good thing is that his wife and his son and family were with him in the hotel at the time. So his family was close to him at the time of his death. Very unexpected, but God's timing is always not our timing. So let us be in prayer for that family. They are making arrangements to take the body to India and bury there, which is more easy to bring it back here from all the way from Abu Dhabi in the Gulf. So please keep that family in our prayers for comfort and peace during this time, especially the parents. The aged parents are very grieved, and his mom is kind of beyond comfort. So please keep them in our prayers. Are there any other special calls for prayers or praises? Anybody? Anybody online have any prayer requests? No? Please pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us behind the scenes. Let us be thankful for their services and also pray for them and their families. Pray for our nation, our leaders of the Congress and President, and many others who make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and make the right decisions. And also pray for world leaders, especially during this time of war and problems happening around the world, that God will give them the fear of God in their hearts, that they will make also decisions that will bring peace to this world. Let's pray for our church, particularly this community that God has given us and placed in our hands to be His hands and feet, to be faithful in using the opportunities that God has given us, and also all the churches in this area, and the pastors and the leaders of the church at large around the world, missionaries and all the others who have worked in the vineyard of God in many different ways. Let us remember them in our prayers and also pray for them and their safety. Those are the prayer requests that I have. Nobody has any other special prayers to call out. Let us go to God in prayer. If you spend a few moments in silent prayer and then close with a summarized prayer, let us pray. Says in the book of Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving bring your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And he also continues to say that my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Loving God, we come before you and trusting in your mercy and faithfulness that is new every day. Thank you for the gift of life, and the many blessings that you give us along with the gift of life, the good health and strength we enjoy in our bodies, the family, our friends and fellowship and church. Above all, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, for the eternal life that you gave us through his death, life and resurrection in this world. Thank you again for this time that you have given us to come before you and bring our prayers of praises and burdens together. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We thank you for this time that you have given us and bring our burdens and concerns to you, O God. Our brokenness are before you in our bodies, in our souls, and in our spirit. You are the healer. You are the great physician. We lift up all of our dear ones who need healing in their bodies today, especially the ones that we lifted up. Jean and Grace and Harry, Carol, Wayne, Jerry, Sean and Amy, Ed and Bertha Lowe, and all of those that we have named here and not named. We lift them up into your hands, O Lord, touch them with your healing hand. You are the one who died for us, not only for our sins, but also for our healing in our bodies. By your stripes we are healed, and that's the promise in your word. We bring them into your hands, O God, and touch them, Lord, and heal them according to your grace and mercy. We pray for those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, especially Sadish's family at this time, as they are growing through a difficult time with his death and the situations that are surrounding the death. We pray for your grace upon them to have a funeral that is a blessing to everyone who attend there. We pray for his parents especially. Comfort them, Lord. You are the one, only one who can give them peace at this time. Bless them with your grace, Lord, and comfort them with your peace and presence. We pray for all of those who are struggling and grieving in various different ways, especially because of the flood. A lot of children are lost in the flood, and the dear ones are also grieving at this time. We pray that you will comfort them, Lord, and the people who lost their lives, the counselors and the leaders of the camp. We pray for your special grace upon that area of that area that need healing as a community. Bless them, O God, and comfort them with your presence. We pray for our service workers, our military, our police and fire, and all those who are serving us behind the scenes. We pray for your grace upon them and for their families' safety. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions. Bless them with your grace. Above all, help them, Lord, to make decisions that will bring good to these people and peace and unity in this country. Give them the fear of God in their hearts, our president, our leaders of the Congress and governors and mayors and many others who make decisions, Lord. We pray for the world leaders also that they will fear God and bring peace to this world with their decisions. We thank you again for this church and the opportunity that you have given us to do this ministry here. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in using the opportunities to serve others, to reach out, and to be your hands and feet in this community, to love others and serve others here, Lord. Help us, Lord, to also remember those who are in need. We pray for all the churches in this community, the pastors, the ministers and missionaries and many, many others. Pray for the church at large around the world. Pray for the ministries of various churches around the world that spread your message of love to many people around the world. Bless them with the power of your Holy Spirit, that they will be strengthened every day in the work that they do. And also those who are facing many times of tribulations and troubles while they preach the gospel. Bless them with your comforting presence. Strengthen them, O God. Bless us today with your presence, O God. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. In our meditation of the word, touch us, Lord, with your word. Empower us, Lord, so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
preparing for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, and thank you for all the abundant gifts that you give in our life of blessings. We pray that our offering of gifts can be used to do your work in this world, and please keep us mindful of the needs of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word. The living word, your Son who came and lived among us in flesh, so that we can experience the power of your word in our lives. Bless us, Lord, as we meditate on the grace that you have shown to us, the sufficient grace that will give us all that we need in times of our troubles, in times of our griefs, and in our times of needs. Your grace is sufficient, Lord. Help us, Lord, to trust in your promises as we meditate on the word. Open our hearts and illumine our souls so that we can receive the word with humility and obedience. And also illumine our souls that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today. Empower us with your word so that we can be a source of blessing to others as we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last word, that last sentence that Paul talks about in this passage, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." It sounds like a contradiction, right? What do you call that in American?
Oxymoron.
Is it an English word? I don't know. I heard it only in America, that word. But that's kind of an oxymoron. When I am weak, then I am strong. That is basically the message of Christ. Everything that Christ preached is about the opposite of what the world thinks. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek and the silent. It's the opposite of what, and blessed are those who grieve. That's what Jesus said. How is that a blessing? But those are the things that the concept of the kingdom of God is upside down against the concept of the world that we live in. So when we are weak, when we find ourselves weak, Paul is explaining that we become strong because God's grace is sufficient to make us strong. We all have troubles in our lives. In this case, Paul says that, we heard that earlier when we read that he's talking about a thorn in his flesh. I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Many times when we bring our thorn, whatever thorn that we have, it may be a visible thorn like a sickness or a rejection or a financial hardship, something that we can actually experience and see, or it may be invisible, that we go through something struggle in our inside that we may not be able to share with other people sometimes. But whatever it is, that when it's a thorn that we constantly feel the pain from, constantly pricking us. And that's what, we don't know exactly what Paul had. Some people say he had some physical infirmities. Some people say that he had his eyesight, he lost his eyesight along the way. Whatever it was, he said he pleaded the Lord for with the Lord to take it away. 3 times he prayed for it. And every time he prays for it, God did not say yes or no. He says, My grace is sufficient for you. Many times when we pray for these kind of things, we want an yes or no answer from God. I like that. God either say yes or say no. So I don't have to continue praying for it. If you say no, I know it is no. But God's answer may be a little different. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. But I'm going to tell you, My grace is sufficient for me. I remember when we were taking care of our grandson for a while when he was young, until he was about 2 years old. And he actually fell down and scratched his knee one time. He was playing. He started crying. So I went and picked him up and put him on my shoulders and tapped on him, and he stopped crying. And then he came down and he stood up, and then he looked at his wound again, started crying again. I said, Why are you crying now? And then he looked at it and cried. So I picked him up and put him on my shoulder. He stopped crying. And then he looks at his wound again and started crying. So I said, Stop looking at your stuff. Don't look at your wound. That's why you're crying. So he finally stopped looking at it and stopped crying. Sometimes we are like that. We are taken care of by God, and we know that. As believers, we know that we are in the hands of God no matter what happens to us. When we go through pains and things like that. But certain times we lose that focus and look at the wound and start crying again, thinking that God is still not with us. I am there with him. But God's grace is sufficient. When he gets on my shoulder and he doesn't cry anymore, he knows that he is being comforted by his grandfather. Even though the wound is still there, he probably will still have the pain. But he is in the arms of his grandfather, and he is comforted by that grace. That is what grace is. God's grace is similar to. God holds us in the palm of his hands. And we read a devotion this morning when my wife and I were praying together. The devotion says that God has written our names in the palm of his hands. So I was looking at my hand. And we all have fingerprints, right? All through our hands. Aren't there some kind of a cryptic language? Why do we have those? Does anybody know why do we have these prints in our hands? Is there any function for it? I don't know. I looked it up. I think it is a coded message that God gave us. And God's palm has the names of all his people in his hand. You know how big a hand God has?
Yes.
That's a big hand. I'm so happy when I read that my name is also written in the palm of God's hand. That is what grace is, sufficient grace. He would not forget his people, everybody he remembers in the palm of his hands, because it is written down there. I literally believe that. So no matter what kind of thorns that we are experiencing, the pain that we are going through, remember that God will never forsake us. It may not be a yes that you may like to hear, or it may not be a no that you may like to hear, but it is a promise that my grace is sufficient for you, because we are in the palm of his hands and he is holding us with his eternal arms. Underneath our There is a verse in Psalm, we read that eternal God is our refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Sometimes that we find or feel like that we are fallen down, but we are not fallen down. Even if we are down, we are in the palm of the hands of eternal God. He is a great God. He will never forsake us or leave us. So grace is not always what we expect. When we think of grace, we often imagine our favor or blessings, but grace is not always about having the sufficiency. Paul did not get the relief he got that he was looking for. He pleaded with God 3 times, but he did not get the answer he was looking for. But he experienced the power of God during that prayer, and God promised him that my grace is sufficient for you. Grace doesn't always come on the form of change. It often shows up in sustaining strength in the middle of unchanged circumstances. The pain may be still there. The grief may still be there that you cannot just forget. But in the midst of that, you can feel the presence of God comforting you and say that, my child, I am here with you in this pain. And I am going through the pain with you, and His sufficient grace is comforting you. That is what made the disciples to sing in prison. Paul and Silas were put in prison for preaching the gospel. And they were put in the prison, they were beaten up, they were almost to the point of death, and they were tired. And they thought they would not make through that night. But in the middle, in the midnight, while they were in prison with chains, bound them, and they started singing praises to God. And that's what they experienced, the grace of God in the midst of that darkness, in the darkness of that prison. Imprisoned and chained, they started singing songs. And lo and behold, the angel of God appears into the prison, loosened their chains, and they were let go in the prison. The doors were opened. We read that in the Acts, book of Acts. We have read about that and talked about that before. Those are the times when God's grace becomes sufficient, that it will release us from our bondages and set us free if we trust in God and sing praises to God in the times of pain and suffering. And also through the fears and tears of Joseph. Joseph's life comes to my mind. Because when he was a young boy, in his teenagers, his brothers were very jealous of him because his father loved him better than the others. So they tried to kill him. And while they were tending sheep, they put him in the well. I mean, you know that, the dry well, that they threw him there, and then took his garments to his father and said, your son is dead. But also God took him out of that well and took him to Egypt. You know all that story. You can read that in Genesis. And he became the prime minister of Egypt. Through all those pains and rejection that from his family, and all the pains that he had to go through, and even when he was taken to Egypt as a slave to be a servant, to do the household work in one of the rulers of that Egypt, he was going through some difficult times there. He was put in prison for no crime that he has committed. He was accused wrongly by the wife of Pharaoh, and he was put in prison for that also. But he did not ever complain. But he knew that there is a God who knows everything that is happening in his life. So he knows the sufficient grace of God. So God's grace is sufficient, and it works best in our weakness. When we are weak, God's grace is powerful. That is the biggest thing about the grace of God. In our weakness, it becomes a doorway to a blessing. Our weakness is not a liability to us. A weakness is not something bad. Whenever we find ourselves weak, remember, it is not for bad things. It is something that God is working through to reveal His greatness and His glory. Sometimes our strength can be a barrier, but our weakness will never become a barrier to God. When our strength, we boast on our strength, God may not be able to do anything, because you think you can do everything. But that becomes a barrier. But when we find ourselves weak and powerless, That is when God's power becomes evident. God can work through our weakness. We don't have to be strong all the time. And we don't have to be get all together all the time. You don't need to fake it, or you don't have to say, God, I can't, but you can. That's all you can say in situations like that. Many, many stories that come to my mind. The great musician Beethoven, he lost his hearing towards the end of his life, but he still continued to compose songs without hearing what he was composing. And look at all the great music that we have from Beethoven. A deaf man who could not hear wrote the music, and we can listen to that now, even though he could not listen to his music. And William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, he did a lot of work for the poor people, and Salvation Army is still around, you know that. And he also lost his eyesight towards the end of his life. And then he was taken to the doctor by his son, and the doctor told his son that your dad will never see again. That was a hard news for the son to tell the dad. And the son came and out of the doctor's office and told the dad. It was unlike today. The doctors tell the patients. In those days, the doctors tell the dear ones first, and they will tell. It still happens in India. They don't tell the patient directly. They will call one of the dear ones and tell them the sad news so they can break it sometime and comfortably. So the son came and told William Booth, Dad, I have some things to share you. But, you know, I know it won't be easy for you to hear it. And he said, well, go ahead and share it with me. And he said, well, the doctor said, you will never see again. He said, well, he was not upset. He said, I trust in God. God gave me the ministry to do while I had sight. And I will continue the ministry while I do not have sight. So he did it. He continued to do his thing. Look at Salvation Army today. That's what it is. So it doesn't matter what the pain or the thorn that we are going through. God's grace is sufficient. And that is all we need to hold on to and trust on. And also, God's grace will never run out. It is not scarce. It is abundant all the time. It will never run out. God's grace is abundant and it's always sufficient. So no matter what we may be going through in our lives, our relationship troubles in families or financial stress or broken hearts or anxiety, doubt, fatigue and failures, whatever we are going through. Yesterday we heard a lot of stories from people who shared about anxiety and stress in their lives. I couldn't imagine some of those young people shared their stories about how they are going through stress in their life and anxiety. So one thing that I shared, my story, was that yesterday while we were setting up all of these things, there was big cloud and rain started coming. And there was a big wind. I don't know if you noticed that. That wind threw that play thing that set up outside all the way to the other compound. So they had to run after it to bring it back. Then we were worried that it's going to be a big thunderstorm, that we have to take the tents down and what's going to happen. Then one thing came to my mind where I preached one time here. I don't know if you remember that. You know, when it rains, the best thing to do is to let it rain. That came to my mind. I told everybody, don't worry. If it rains, let it rain. Let us all sit down. So we sat down and started eating hot dogs and hamburgers. And that was taught some lessons. So things will happen in our lives, but there is a God who knows everything, every moment of our lives. And he is holding us in the palm of his hands. And he will never let us go. It is a sufficient grace that gives us the power to endure such situations as I explained before with the examples of many, many people. Sometimes we find ourselves broken beyond repair. Right, that's what I hear sometimes. I sometimes say that, you know, I am beyond repair. Nobody can repair me. I am broken completely. But God can make us those things that are beyond repair and mold us into something completely new. No matter how old you are, you can be renewed by God. That's a promise that God gave us through His Son. Remember the story. I don't know if you know the story. In the book of Jeremiah, He told the prophet to go to the potter's house. the potter who makes pottery out of clay. So he said, why I have to go to the potter's house? Well, I'm going to show you something. When he went there, the potter was making the pots with the clay. You know how that thing that he makes clay. And while he was there, one of the pots that he made crumbled in his own hands. It broken beyond repair. Well, he took it out and then started from scratch again with that clay and made a different pot out of that, maybe a different shape. That's the lesson that God was teaching him in the potter's house, that you and I can be broken beyond repair in the eyes of the world. But there is nothing beyond repair for God. He can make and take that broken clay and make something beautiful, better out of it. That's what God's grace is. So his never-ending grace is all sufficient for us. No matter what we go through, the pain or the thorn like Paul's flesh that he was going through, God's promise is still the same. My grace is sufficient for you. Let us be empowered and comforted with that word as we go from this place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The closing hymn is Grace Greater Than Our Sin, 365. If you are able, please stand for the closing hymn.
Grace that is greater than all.
of God, God's grace is amazing grace, never-ending grace. It is a grace that makes perfect in our weakness and gives us the strength to endure our thorns as we go through the painful situations in our lives. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.